Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Well, church, we're in for an incredible day today. We have a preacher today who is all the way from just the building next door. He is our college principal and an incredible man of God who's going to deliver a word in season for your lives. So I just encourage you to open your ears, extend your hearts to receive, and let's give a massive welcome to Pastor Richard Johnston.
Thanks, Pastor Rick. How are we doing, Nations Church? Are we well? It's good to be here with you here today. Welcome to those who are joining us online as well. Great to have you here, and it's good to be with family, amen? Thank you, worship team, as well. They're a trendy bunch, aren't they? Hey, pretty cool looking. I don't know. I'm trying to look at someone to see who can make fun of a bit here, but they're all gone. So that's okay. We'll leave that. We'll do it in R. There he is, Clementine. What a guy. Yeah, anyway, what an introduction. It's great to be with you here today, and so excited to come around the Word of God together as a church family, which is always a privilege to do together. Let us never be complacent with that. As Pastor Rick said, I do have the great privilege of looking after the college here at Nations Church, and we've had a bit of a different year, as everyone's had a bit of a different year. Give me a wave if you've had a bit of a different year online. Yep. Yeah, everyone has had a bit of a different year this year, and it's been no different for our college, but it's been an amazing year nonetheless, and we've had a fantastic year with a fantastic cohort, and we're really excited because, well, it's coming up really shortly. Next week, actually, we're launching Nations College 2021, which is, it doesn't sound right, 2021, does it? It doesn't feel right, but it's coming and it's here, so we're launching Nations College for next year. Next week, so get excited for that. I know I am. Why don't we just pray before we get into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are here, that you're not some distant deity, but you are present right now in our midst. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us. And Father, I just pray that we would sense that nearness, that closeness that you are here, and that as we come around reading your holy living Word today, that you would speak to us. You would convict us, you would direct us, and you would guide us. And Father, I pray that at the very end of today, we would just leave more in love with you and with a greater understanding of the love that you have for us and the plans and the call that you have for our lives. And so, Father, we just pray that you would speak in this place and that we would receive and that we would listen. And we pray these things in your Son's most holy and precious name. All of God's people said, amen. I want to jump straight into a passage from the Gospel of Luke this morning. So if you got your Bibles with you, turn to it, flick to it, scroll to it, whatever you do. Luke 5, verse 1. And it reads, "One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is just another name for the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter that is, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and day and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.'" Now, it's strange, right? Because Jesus jumps into this situation pretty much. He's just like, "Hey, guys, can I borrow your boat? I need to use it. I'll use the water for some natural amplification." So that's a bit weird by Jesus already. But, you know, he's the Messiah. He can do what he wants, I guess, right? And so he jumps into this situation and he begins to tell these, fishermen, he begins to really tell them how to do their job. Who's ever been told how to do your own job, right? How does it make you feel? No good. What's your response? "Hey, buddy, stay in your lane. You don't be telling me, I know how to do my job. You do your job, I'll do my job, and we'll get on like that." And Peter's response isn't like that, which is interesting. But Jesus comes, and this advice is pretty nonsensical. Best time to catch fish in the Sea of Galilee at night. He comes and says, "I know you've been toiling, but how about you give it another shot?" So this non-expert comes with some average advice. Let's read what happens. "When they had done so," verse 6, "they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, I believe many of us could resonate with this particular moment or passage from Scripture. In fact, I liken it to almost like a bit of a salvation moment, right? Where you're sort of doing your own thing. You're on your own path. You're following, your own ways. And then God rocks up in this moment. And the disciples, what's their response? They follow. They make a decision to actually go, wow, this guy is Jesus. He is the Messiah. And they make a response to follow. We see this radical repentance and this radical decision to leave everything. Everything's a big word, isn't it? Everything. What does everything mean? Everything. You can't get around that. There's a totality to the sense of this word there, everything. And what we see is, like, that's pretty radical. So what is that everything for the disciples? Now, fishermen in the ancient world, particularly in Galilee, in this particular region, fishermen actually had an above-average income. Okay, so it's above the sort of average income that people would have in ancient times. So what they're kind of leaving, this everything that they're leaving is, well, a good job. It's security, comfortability. And not only that, that people would actually, in the ancient world, they would often take on their jobs or their roles. It's like the family business, right? My dad was a fisherman, so I'm a fisherman, and so on and so forth. Not so much these days. Hands up if you're glad for that. Yeah, a few people. Yeah, I ended up doing exactly what my dad did, so I was a bit disappointed in the end. Yeah, I know. I didn't think it was going to happen, and then bang, it got me. Thank you, Jesus. And so we see them take it. And so what they're leaving is not only just the comfort and the security, but they're also leaving the family business. You can only imagine the potential shame that could come upon that family, that person who decides to just radically take up everything and leave, right? It's a big thing. It's a scary thing. I don't know about you. But when I guess, had my own salvation moment where I was first called by Jesus to follow him, I mean, I left some things. I left a few things. I stopped doing that. But I don't know about everything. So everything, it's radical. It's crazy. But what we see here is this beautiful picture of really this moment where Jesus calls and we're left with a response. We're left with a response. What are we going to do? Are we going to follow? Are we going to follow? Jesus says, follow me. And then Jesus has made the first step, and then we're left with a response. Now, the premise behind the word disciple in the Greek is essentially being one who follows. One who follows. We would understand that that is a disciple. One who follows to become like the teacher that they are following, steadily becoming more and more like them, learning their ways, becoming more like them. We would all understand that a disciple is one who makes a decision to follow. A decision to follow. And I want to share around this idea of following this morning. So those in the room today, those joining online, we're talking about this question of who are you following? That's the question I want to pose this morning. Who are you following? And I've been reflecting and thinking recently about really what is at play within this topic of discipleship and following Jesus. What's at play here? And as I begin to think about it and read through Scripture and look at it a bit, I guess, more deeply, I've really come to a conclusion that there's two key areas at play here, that of pride and humility. These are two seemingly opposing standpoints, are they? Pride and humility. And these are what's at play within this conversation of following Jesus. You know, pride is the single most ancient struggles that humanity has faced, isn't it? Think right back to the garden. This desire to become something more, this desire to have this status as greater. Think of all throughout Israel's history, the various leaders from different other, I guess, civilizations who claimed divinity and deity themselves, viewed themselves as God. This desire for something, to be something more, to have all the answers yourself, to be God yourself, pretty much. And humility is the contrast to that. Humility is the opposite to that. And so why do we struggle so often with pride, thinking that, you know, we know what's best. We can follow ourselves. Our own agenda is the best way. Why do we struggle? Well, plain and simply, it's pretty hard to admit that we don't know what's best. It's pretty hard to admit that we don't have all the answers. It's pretty hard to admit that my way isn't the best way. And so what we see with these disciples, they've been presented with an opportunity here. What way are you going to follow? You've got a call, an invitation. Follow me. Follow Jesus. Because we're all following something, right? Following what society's sort of culture might say we should follow. Following what our parents did. Following, you know, what our family's doing. Following what we want to do. We're all following something. And we see these disciples, they're given an opportunity to follow Jesus, to take a position of humility in following Christ. You can't have following without humility. Because really, what's at play here is I'm actually humbling myself, not my way, not my will, but yours. It's yours. It's not my agenda. It's not my life, but it's yours, Jesus. And we see this call represented there. And I think what's been made abundantly clear to us as we've had this wholeness discussion, who's been enjoying this wholeness sort of season that we've been going through as a church? As we've gone through this wholeness discussion, I think it's been made abundantly clear that we can't do anything without Christ's first move towards us. I can't even have faith in Christ without his faithfulness in what he accomplished on the cross. We can't do anything without what he has first accomplished. And then he calls us at that moment of salvation that we have to follow him. And the decision is left then in our hands. Will we follow or will we not follow? Salvation, this beautiful free gift towards us, but then we're left with the choice. Will we follow or will we not follow? Will we take the way of humility and humble ourselves, or will we go the way of pride and follow ourselves? I want to look at a couple of series of passages from the life of Peter. Who loves Peter? Yeah, disciple, apostle, great guy all around. Everyone online, you guys love Peter. Why do we love Peter? Because he stuffed up so much. All right, who loves Peter because he made a lot of mistakes? Yeah, I do. Why do we love that? Because it makes us feel better about ourselves. When you see somebody else struggling, you go, whew, not so bad. You know, I can do some things. So let's jump into the first passage from the life of Peter, and we'll look at some accounts from his life, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will speak to us through them. Matthew 16, verse 21. Now, this is straight after, right? This is a really interesting passage because the context of it is that Jesus has just been confirmed as Messiah by Peter. So Peter's just confessed him as Messiah. So great day start to Peter, right? So Peter's having an awesome day so far. And Jesus is like, yeah, I am the Messiah. Well done, Peter. You're a great guy. And Peter's just like, pats on the back. You know, I know theology. I'm Peter. I'm a great guy. And so he's feeling good about himself. And then we jump straight into this. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter's response to this. Peter took him aside. He took Jesus aside. Oh, Jesus, come in here for a second. Took him aside and began to rebuke him. All right, Peter, you brave man. You're having a great day so far. Don't ruin it. And he says, never, Lord. Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Whew. Let's see what turns out. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Human concerns. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Peter arcs up at hearing what Jesus is teaching them about the role of the Messiah. He's saying the role of the Messiah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to humble myself, even humble myself to death on a cross. And Peter goes, no, you're not, Jesus. Excuse me, I know you've got a great plan for humanity, Jesus, Messiah, Christ, all of these things, but Peter's got a better plan. Now, why does he arc up? Why does he say that? Well, because what Jesus is saying, just like at the start with the fish, it's kind of nonsensical. Peter's thinking, right, this Messiah figure has come to lead us, to lead our people. This is fantastic. This is amazing. And Jesus says, I'm going to die? I'm going to go to the cross? And it's just like, so Peter is going, no, surely not. I mean, that doesn't sound right, Jesus. Are you sure? Did you mishear from God? How have you messed this up somehow? What's been going on here? And Peter rebukes him, and we see Jesus' response. So why is that? Well, it's because what Jesus is saying doesn't make sense from a worldly, societal, cultural context. Because what Jesus is saying doesn't make logical sense, doesn't have this rational reason. It fails the rational test, right? It doesn't make sense what he's saying. And I just wonder how often, so many times in our life, when we've got this opportunity and a call to follow Christ in a particular area that doesn't make sense, it defies logic, doesn't look like what society maybe say our lives should look like, how often our response is like Peter's, and we say, never, Lord. Never, Lord. How often we're just like, not sure about your way, Jesus, but that doesn't make sense because of this, because of this, because it doesn't make sense with how I look at the world. And so often we're presented with opportunities in our lives. And I was praying during the week, and I just really felt impressed upon my spirit that there were people here today, and it might be online, it might be in the room, but the Holy Spirit has really, for a long time, been having a conversation with you about places where you're going to be involved with ministry, particular areas, and it's away from your comfortable sort of situation. And for so long, your response has been, never, Lord. Never, Lord. Because when I look at, you know, my family circumstance, the financial circumstance, that's a big one, right? Hey, that's a big one. You look at all these things and it doesn't make sense. Sometimes following doesn't make sense. The way of the cross doesn't make sense. We jump forward to another moment in Peter's life. And again, you know, some of the passages we're looking at, they don't shine Peter in the best light, but, you know, that's all right. It makes me feel better about myself. Hopefully it does the same for you. And Peter's just had this conversation again with Jesus. And he's essentially said, Jesus, I'm willing to die for you. And Jesus' response is like this question, are you really willing? And then Jesus follows it up and says, you know what, you're not ready right now, but one day you actually will. We jump into this passage then in John 18. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? Are you that guy that follows Jesus? And he said, I am not. We jump down to verse 25. Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? A second time, he replies, I am not. Verse 26, one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, which is just a great social setting. I cannot say that for my life, right? I don't think I've ever been where I'd be like, aren't you the dude that cut my cousin's ear off? Bill, is that it? No, I don't know. Right, so he finds himself in this situation and calls him out. He says, did I not see you in the garden with him, with Jesus? Aren't you one of his followers? And then Peter denies again. Now, this is an extreme depiction of doubt in Peter's life. And the conversation isn't all too dissimilar to conversations that we entertain with doubt ourselves in certain moments. See, Peter, the conversation that's going on in his head is, am I following the right person right now? Am I really following the right person? Is Jesus the right guy for me to be like, I'm all in, I'm everything with you, Jesus? And we see in his responses, when he's asked, are you a follower? And his reply is, I am not. And I just wonder how often us as believers, we can entertain doubt in our minds. And we all have doubt, right? That's why I love looking at Peter's life, because it's clear that, yes, salvation, no one can touch that, but discipleship is a journey. Discipleship is this progressive journey in becoming more like Christ. And there's going to be moments where we follow, and there's going to be moments where instead we say, I am not. Now, what do we do as believers? We need to recognize when, I guess, the symptoms are coming in, where those moments of doubt are. And so many times, maybe we find ourselves in positions, in situations where we actually doubt. Doubt that Jesus is the right one to follow. Because we look at our circumstances. We look at the evidence, you know, presented to us, in front of us. That's how we work as humans. Look at the evidence. Man, things aren't going too well. Do I begin to doubt? Sometimes we even begin to doubt ourselves. And when we're doubting ourselves and who we're called to be, in a sense, we're doubting what God calls us, right? We're doubting what God actually says about us. And again, as I was praying midweek, I really felt strongly about this 11 a.m. service that there were people here, and it's like you doubt what God says about you. You look at yourself constantly, and it's this conversation that you perpetuate in your mind that you are inadequate, that you are unable. Why is that convincing? Because in a sense, it's true. We are unable by ourselves, but thank God for Christ who paid the price so that we could enter into true restoration. We jump forward now to another passage, and at the very end of the Gospel of John, I love this, it sort of like goes from start to finish. We find the disciples, where are they? Sea of Galilee. They're fishing. It's so funny that we look at it, I guess, you think of these disciples' life in a holistic sense from very start of being called right the way to the end. They find themselves doing exactly what they did at the start. How often in moments where maybe we're a little bit unsure about what next, do we just pick up what's comfortable for us? What's the status quo? That's our security, right? And that's where we find the disciples. They're back fishing. They're back, you know, doing what they know how to do. We know fish. Let's go back to that. Because they're left in this sort of limbo period. Because Jesus, yep, he's been crucified, resurrected. They've seen he's appeared to them, but they're left in this limbo period about, well, what next then? Have we just been following Jesus for this significant chunk of our lives, and now it's just like, what do we do? What next? Who's ever felt like that? Where you're just like, what next? And what's so common for us to do as human beings is then we just pick up just what's comfortable. This is what feels natural. This is where I feel safe, rather than actually stepping out. We jump into this passage, John 21, verse 4. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Well, cast the net out on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast it out, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. We're getting deja vu, right? These disciples are going, wait a second, we've been here before. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Well done. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples, they couldn't be bothered swimming though. So Peter just jumped in. They all stayed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards off. We jump forward to verse 15. Jesus now has this conversation with Simon Peter. Very same Simon Peter who heard his first call to follow him at the start. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus says to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend to my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I wonder why maybe it was said three times, Peter. Hello? Anyway, Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God, that being Peter. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." That very simple phrase that bookmarks our Gospels. Follow me. The call. The invitation to us, to Peter, to me, to you, is to follow Jesus. And just again, it's this beautiful picture of the journey that the call is the same throughout Peter's life. That's the great thing about discipleship, right? It's like, it doesn't change. We're just like classic humans who struggle along the way, where at times we decide, actually, I know I've been called to follow him, but I'm going to follow my own path. I'm going to follow my own agenda. I'm going to follow how I want to view the world, what society maybe says I should be doing, you know, what my family has done previously. I'm going to follow different things. But no, the call is the same, to follow him. Later in Peter's life, he actually writes these fantastic letters that you would read in our New Testament, 1st and 2nd Peter. And I was reading through 1 Peter in preparation for this sermon, and I love this. He stops for a moment. He begins to speak to leaders in this church, and the church community is actually a scattered church in Asia Minor, and they're being persecuted for their faith. And Peter says, essentially, to be humble and to follow him, that is what I want you to do. Yeah. To humble yourself, to say, not me, but you, Lord, and follow Jesus. That's what he calls them to do. That's what he exhorts them to do. Now, Peter's, you know, it's later on in Peter's life at that stage of writing those words. You know, this beautiful picture of him stumbling at times, following his own way at one and Jesus's way at another. And we see later on in his life, and really, if you know anything about our Christian tradition, what it says about Peter, he's actually crucified for his faith. Christian tradition would say that he was actually crucified upside down. It's a sobering thought to think about this guy, Peter, that we've been chatting about. And we have a laugh going, why didn't you follow Jesus, Peter? You know, why didn't you follow Jesus at that point? You know, why are you rebuking Jesus at that point, Peter? And we have a laugh about it. And then we see, really where Peter's following would actually lead him. And Jesus' words would come to be prophetic for that, in that he would actually follow him at a later point. And we see that with Peter actually giving up his life for his faith. And it's such a sobering thought to think about that. And my question to you is simple this morning. And it's a question that more recently I've been asking myself daily. Every situation, every setting, it's just like, who am I following? Who am I following right now? I said before, salvation, free, no one can touch that. But our decision as to whether we continue to follow Jesus, it's on us. Because we make a decision to partner with His Holy Spirit, who gives us the strength to carry on. So my question is simple. Are you following Jesus, or are you following yourself? Are you following Jesus, or are you following security and comfortability? What's safe? What's easy? Are you following Jesus, or are you following logic and reason? Because that makes more sense, and some of the things Jesus calls us to do don't make much sense. Jesus doesn't make sense to randomly walk to somebody at a supermarket and say, I believe that God wants to heal you. It doesn't make much logical, rational sense. But who are you following? Logic? Reason? Or are you following Jesus? Because if we really believe that what Jesus said was true, then there's a whole bunch of things that we view differently, right? Because we're actually stepping out in a following. Are you following Jesus, or are you doubting that you're even following the right person? And I believe in this place today and joining us online, that even as I've been preaching this word, just as was done to me when I prepared this sermon, that the Holy Spirit is maybe dropping areas in your life where you're looking that and the Holy Spirit's identifying that and illuminating that to you, that that is an area where maybe you haven't been following Jesus. And today we're given an opportunity to respond to that, because there's no better thing to do than to be reminded with that question, who are you following? And if it's not Jesus, let's follow Jesus. Amen? Amen? Hey, in this place, why don't you all just bow your heads and close your eyes, and those joining online as well. There's something we do at every single service that we have at Nations, and it's something that we love to do. And I've spoken so much about this idea of following Jesus. And I'm totally aware that maybe joining us online or in this place today, that there are people here and maybe you haven't made a decision to actually in the first place follow Jesus for the first time, to actually declare that He is Lord and Savior over your life. Let me tell you that God sent His Son down to earth to pay the price of sin that we could never pay. Sent Him down to be crucified on a Roman cross and resurrected, to pay the price of sin, everything that separated us from God on our behalf. This beautiful free gift. And all we have to do is believe, repent, and declare that He is Lord. And in this place or online, we're just going to allow a little bit of time here to reflect on that. And what we're going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. Now, I would love you to repeat after me as we pray this, whether you've said it many, many times, or whether it's the very first time that you're saying it. Why don't you engage right now? So repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are God and You are good. Right now, Father, I repent of all the times where I've walked my own way. And right now, I declare You as Lord and Savior over my life. Let me be forever changed. Following You, becoming like You, and learning to understand who I was truly called to be. We pray these things in Your Son's most holy and precious name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Right now, if you could all just keep your eyes closed and heads bowed, and same online. I just want to leave a little bit of time. If you said that prayer for the very first time, doesn't matter whether you're here, whether you're online, I just believe that the Holy Spirit is moving and is speaking and is calling people back to understanding the love of the Father. And if that was you and you said this for the first time, all you have to do, just a private moment between you and God, nobody looking around, all eyes closed, all heads bowed in this place, just a couple of members of our team here. You just need to just raise your hand. And all you're doing is just saying, yep, I said that for the first time. I want to declare Jesus as Lord and Savior over my life. And if that was you, whether you're online, whether you're in the room right now, we'll just leave a little bit of time. We don't need to rush this. So if that was you, you said that prayer for the first time, just indicate so by just raising your hand. Whether you are online, whether you are joining with us here, our team would love to get in touch with you. They'd love to give you a Bible, so make sure you visit some of our team members afterwards. And if you were making a decision for the first time online now, we'd love to get in touch with you. Just contact us via nationschurch.com/my-decision. You guys can open your eyes and lift your heads now. The Holy Spirit began to drop in my heart, I guess, an event that happened in my life a few years ago. A couple years back, I had the privilege of going to Israel on a study tour. It was fantastic. I'm glad I went then because I can't go now. It was awesome. And I found myself right where the disciples were called, right? I was right by the Sea of Galilee. Looks a little bit different now, I'm sure. Bit of a smaller sea than it was back then. And I'm sitting by the side, and I just remember sitting there and praying, and then the Holy Spirit, and I have a love-hate relationship sometimes with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit loves to lay some conviction smackdowns on me sometimes, and it just came, and I just felt the Holy Spirit so clearly say to me, Richard, who are you following? I was on this study tour in Israel, and I was learning so much by being there and really enjoying it, and, you know, I was working with church at the time, doing my role with the college here, really enjoying that. But I just knew right then and there that there were some areas in my life where I was actually choosing not to follow Jesus. Where I was making the decision, it's either too hard, I don't know about the cost, I don't know about what maybe society thinks, and I was choosing not to follow Jesus. Just like Peter in his moments where he chose. And just like I'm sure many of you are thinking of moments right now where you chose not to follow Jesus. And as I was sitting there, the response came so clearly. And what it was the eternal invitation, the eternal call that is echoed throughout history, which was this: follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Will you follow me? See, in the ancient world, it was common for the students. They would choose their own teacher, right? They would choose their own leader. But it was not so with Jesus, because he called them. He made the first step towards them. He said, you follow me. And then they're left with the response, will I or won't I? Will I follow myself? Will I follow my own agenda? Or will I follow you, Jesus? It's the continual, eternal call that echoes to us all. Will you follow me? And I don't know what maybe that area is for you. I believe that the Holy Spirit is maybe dropping in areas in your life, in this room, online, to you, and making them and highlighting those areas that maybe you need to follow him. It could be a relational thing. It could be a trust thing. It could be an area where you're maybe just doubting, where you look at what's going on in your life and there's doubt that just perpetuates in your mind. And in a moment, what we're going to do, the band's going to lead us in this beautiful song. And whether you're here or whether you're online, we're just going to allow a little bit of time for the Holy Spirit to minister this morning. And I just pray that as we begin to sing these lyrics and to declare them over our lives, that it would become so clear the areas that we are realigning ourselves back into, from following ourselves to following him. So why don't you, wherever you are, stand to your feet this morning. And if you feel comfortable, why don't you lift your hands in a posture of receiving? And if you've got something particular, why don't you just bring that into focus right now? If you've got a particular area where the Holy Spirit's really touched on that for you this morning, and begin to declare these lyrics as the band begins to lead us.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.